Kilmainham Jail is one of the most visited historic sites in Ireland, as well as the cells that were home to Parnell and the leaders of the 1916 Rising. There are hundreds of objects relating to the revolutionary decade. A new exhibition, Recycle, Repurpose, Reimagine, Transforming Objects in Kilmainham Jail, is a collection of objects that shows the inventiveness of prisoners, recycling, repurposing and reimagining mundane materials into iconic objects. Earlier, Keshihi got a tour of the show from Kilmainham Jail's Brian Crowley.
I thought we might actually start with these objects here because these were, in many ways, the inspiration behind the exhibition. They're a series of three lead badges, I suppose. They're created in imitation of kind of Celtic penannular brooches, a very popular symbol of Irishness at the turn of the 20th century. And they were made in Belfast Jail in 1918, and on the back is stamped Souvenir of Belfast Jail, because that year there were a large amount of Republican prisoners in Belfast, and they had a riot in the jail, which is where we think they got access to the lead, perhaps from the roof of the jail, because they actually got out onto the roof and had a protest on top of Belfast Jail. But they made these badges out of lead from the prison, so they're not just a souvenir of their time of the jail, but they're also quite subversive because they have taken this building, which is designed to control them and designed to make them obey the rules of their enemies, and essentially they've made these symbols of Irishness out of them. So as I said, they're quite a subversive object.
Yeah, talking about subversion, there's a ring in the glass case behind us, and that again is made in a prison.
Yeah, this was made in Tintown, which was a prison camp in the Curragh during the Civil War, and it was made from a penny. And on the outside, you can see the initials IRA, Irish Republican Army, and the man who made it, Benny Clark, he was a member of the IRA. So this was not just a way of him showing his allegiance to the IRA, but it was also made out of a penny that had the king's head, because at that stage the currency in Ireland was still British currency with the British crown's head on it. So he not only had an IRA ring, but he also knew he made it by destroying the head of the king. What's amazing about this prison art is just how creative they were, and in many ways a lot of the men and women who were imprisoned at that time, a lot of them talked about the fact that they, for the first time maybe in their lives, they had time to explore their own creativity, and they are incredibly inventive in terms of what they make. And in many cases you have very gifted artists, people like Grace Plunkett, Grace Gifford, as she was, you know, she was a trained artist and she did amazing embroideries and drawings. Countess Markovich as well is a very talented artist, and it's amazing just to see the kind of the flowering of creativity that occurs while they're in prison.
I know there's another favourite of yours over here.
These objects are created after the 1916 Rising, and the images are of some of the 1916 leaders.
So we're looking at six lockets without a cover. Are they lockets or pendants?
Yeah, I suppose lockets are pendants, and indeed the lack of a cover I think is significant, because these seem to have been designed to be seen and to be worn. And the person wearing this locket would have been, I suppose, advertising their allegiance and their loyalty to the 1916 leaders. There are these very small images of Thomas Clark and Pearse and Connolly and De Valera. And they've been,
so they're about thumb size,
yeah,
aren't they?
Brass casing. So I don't know if maybe they may have been purchased and may have originally been designed for people to create lockets for their loved ones. But these have been snipped from the newspaper. And a few years ago, a historian, Jack Elliott, came to see these and identified actually how significant they are, because how he viewed it was that these images, while they're in the newspaper, they're not subversive at all. But once they're snipped and placed in these lockets and worn by a person, then they become an act of subversion and a way, a set of publicly showing your support for those who have recently rebelled against British rule in Ireland.
So we've these little photographs, as you say, cut from the newspaper of Pearse, Clark, Connolly, McDonough, De Valera,
and Eamon Cant.
Yeah, so you could imagine somebody hiding it under a shirt and then exposing it if they wanted to show it to a fellow traveller, maybe.
Exactly. And they were donated by a woman called Fanny Byrne, whose husband subsequently ended up as an internee in Ballykinler prison camp up in County Down. And often the women were much more brazen in showing their political support, because in some ways they were protected by kind of a chauvinist chivalry at the time. So you could also imagine that some of the women might have openly worn these almost to taunt British soldiers or representatives of British rule in Ireland. And I suppose what we'd love to know is exactly how they were worn. But they're definitely designed to be worn in public, which is, I think, really significant. And this is actually the first time that we've had these on display, so we're very excited about that. So we're at another of the objects on display, and this is a campaign medal issued to British soldiers who were involved in what was referred to as the Fenian Raid of 1866, when a group of Irish Fenians based in the United States decided that they would invade Canada, which at that time was a crown colony of Britain. And this was to coincide with the Fenian Rebellion here in Ireland.
And that this sounds pretty mad.
It was. I think it's the only recorded invasion of Canada in history. It was never, I suppose, ever going to be a kind of a serious invasion as such. I don't know what they would have done if they had taken over Canada. As was common at the time for soldiers, if they were involved in a particular campaign, they were issued with a campaign medal. And this medal was donated to the Comenham Jail Restoration Society for their new museum back in 1969, and was exhibited as part of the Fenian display, which is where we've continued to display it in the museum now.
Now, Brian, it's a medal with the medal itself as Queen Victoria on it, and then the little badge holding the medal.
It says Fenian Raid 1866. And again, it's really interesting in this kind of, I suppose, this shrine of Irish republicanism that we have quite a few images of Queen Victoria. And it was given to an English soldier, a man called Henry Rance. And for whatever reason, he decided to settle in Ireland after he left the army. He seems to have led quite a chaotic life, because in the 1890s, he ended up being a prisoner here in Kilmainham Jail on two different occasions in 1891. And then he was a prisoner here again in 1892. From his army records, it would seem he had an alcohol problem. The first offence was threatening his wife, and then the second offence in 1892 was attempted suicide, which again suggests that he was going through a very difficult period. He actually ended his days not far from Kilmainham Jail in the Royal Hospital in Kilmainham as one of the pensioners, where again he got into trouble over alcohol, but he did manage, we hope, to kind of end his days with some degree of peace and security. And with Henry Rance's medal, it's possible, I suppose, to look at, I suppose, the totality of his life, that he wasn't just a prisoner, that he had another life outside these walls. Only in the last year or two that one of my colleagues discovered this other layer to the history of this medal, and it's particularly significant because even though the vast majority of the prisoners in Kilmainham Jail were ordinary criminal prisoners, we have hardly any personal items belonging to any of them. And then there's this third story attached to it. The medal was donated to the Restoration Society by Dr. Lydia Foy. Dr. Foy is most famous now because she led the campaign for transgender rights in Ireland in recent years. And for us now, it's a really important, I suppose, representation of the involvement of LGBT people in the creation of Kilmainham Jail and Kilmainham Jail Museum. And this is a story that we've been looking at in particular in recent years, because Kilmainham, it turns out, has a very strong history in relation to the lives of lesbian, gay and transgender people in Ireland.
And now we're going back to 1916. This is connected with Thomas MacDonagh.
Yes, and this is actually my favourite object in the museum. These are just six ordinary shells from the beach in Skerries, and there's a box, an eau de cologne box from the 1900s in which they were kept.
The year, lovely little cardboard box with a lovely graphic of a lady walking her dog.
Yeah, and it's a very kind of feminine and kind of gentle image. The story they're connected with, though, is incredibly tragic. The year after the 1916 Rising, a house was rented for the summer for some of the relatives of those involved in the 1916 Rising. And among the people who went on holidays there was Muriel MacDonagh, whose husband was Thomas MacDonagh, one of the 1916 leaders. And she brought her daughter Barbara with her. Her son Donna was actually in hospital at the time. She was playing with her daughter, and she gave her these shells to play with on the beach. And then she decided she would go in for a swim. She swam quite far out, and it would seem that she may have got caught in one of the currents, and she suffered a heart attack and died out at sea. And Barbara and these shells were scooped up and taken away. And she kept these shells all her life because they were effectively the last present or the last gift that she'd received from her mother. And for me, obviously, it's an incredibly tragic and poignant story, but it's also a really important reminder that the 1916 Rising wasn't just about the proclamation or the GPO, that it also involved all these really personal, tragic stories, these kind of smaller stories that maybe got forgotten about over the years. And it's a really important, I suppose, remembrance of the consequences of these great historic events, that often the consequences are two children, Barbara and Donna McDonough, who found themselves orphans just within the space of a year.
Brian Crowley there speaking to Kay Sheehy about Recycle, Repurpose, Reimagine, Transforming Objects in Kilmainham Jail. And that exhibition runs from the 4th of February through until the 3rd of May of this year.